Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The suspect in that deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi 2 years ago is being questioned on board a Navy ship in the Mediterranean following his capture by the U.S. military in Libya on Sunday. Witnesses say Ahmed Abu Qatala directed militants who stormed the consulate in 2012. He's known as a local admirer of al-Qaeda, but not a member. Reportedly, the U.S. has been planning for a year to pick him up. He went underground a few months ago. When news of his capture came, we thought immediately of David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief of the New York Times, who interviewed a cagey Qatala in the days after the attack, at one point over a milkshake. At that time, Qatala said he was not part of the attack, but he seemed pretty puffed up about it. Let's bring back David Kirkpatrick, who joins us from Cairo by Skype. David, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And first of all, your thoughts when you first heard of his capture?
Well, I'll be frank. I did think it's about time. It was a remarkable situation. Here was this well-known local militant, kind of a pariah locally. Many people saw him leading or spearheading this attack, directing the fighters during the attack. And right afterwards, the President of the United States vows to bring him to justice. And then there he is, having a strawberry frappe with me at a hotel a few weeks later, and the summer after that, inviting me over to his house for tea. He just seemed so brazen. And I wondered, how long could this go on?
Well, why do you think it took so long?
Well, the government of the United States, the people in the White House, for a while they were saying, you know, we're very concerned about destabilizing Libya's fragile transitional government. It may be that they have come to the conclusion that Libya's fragile transitional government is not going to get any more stable anytime soon. But I've also heard speculation from diplomats. There are issues of evidence. You know, the plan here was always to bring Mr. Ahmed Abu Qatala to justice in an American court where you need to meet American standards of evidence to prove his guilt. And that is difficult. The understanding I have is that for the first part of the attack, he was outside of the compound. He was directing the fighters who went in. And I have a lot of reasons to believe that's the case. Then a little bit later on, as things are underway, he's inside, he's inspecting, he's on the video cameras. But to put together his role as the author or director of the attack that ultimately killed the ambassador by smoke inhalation in a burning building, that requires a lot of connective material. I think if you're a prosecutor, you need somebody who knows how it all went down to tell you as a witness, this is what Abu Qatala did here and there and when. And that's a hard thing to prove.
Well, and so you're saying there's two different reasons. The White House wanted to make sure that they had a lock-solid case because they do want to take him to a criminal court in Washington, D.C. and not Guantanamo. And so they need to have the evidence they would need in a regular court. And also because this has become so politicized, they want to make sure maybe every I was dotted. But meantime, how does this square with your early reporting on this? As you well know, Republicans are accusing the White House of intentionally misleading people ahead of the presidential election about what really sparked this attack, because White House officials initially portrayed it as a spontaneous protest inspired by that anti-Islam video that was also causing riots in Cairo. The White House opponents were saying that it actually was an organized terror attack, which sort of undermined White House claims that they had tamped down some of the terrorism in the region. You reported that it was kind of a mix of the two, that people had been inspired by the video and then were directed when they got there. Are you still standing by that? And what are witnesses telling you about how Qatala might have played a role in that?
I am standing absolutely by our account from the first day, which we confirmed after months of further reporting. And that is basically that this was an attack inspired in part by anger at the movie, imitating in part the earlier events at a protest against the movie in Cairo, but also a real attack. You know, a planned event. It was not a street protest with people carrying placards that then get out of hand. This was an attack, a straightforward attack where people show up with guns and they proceed to shoot through the doors and from there. So there's a little bit, at least a little bit of planning that went into it. That's been clear, I think, to the people of Benghazi right from the start.
Well, what do you have witnesses saying about what Katala might have said about that video?
Well, we've got a couple things here that make us pretty confident that the video played a role. First, we should stipulate that the American intelligence agencies have also concluded that the video played a role, so we're not out on a limb here. Second, we had a Libyan journalist working for us on the ground the night of the attack. He went to the attack, was in the mob, trying to get into the compound and see what was happening, and the guards keeping him out of the compound said this was an attack happening because of the offensive video. He learned for the first time of the video from the attackers. Thirdly, we have a witness, and I need to protect this person, but he's a witness who was quite close to Mr. Abu-Katala during the night as the attack was unfolding and received a lecture from him about the importance of defending the Prophet by destroying the compound.
Did he mention the video?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He mentioned the video. Defending the honor of the Prophet from this appalling American-made video by destroying the compound. And later on, when I sat with him, I said, well, Mr. Abu-Katala, what do you think? Do you think it makes sense to kill an ambassador and destroy a diplomatic compound in retribution for something as small as an online video? And he pointedly declined to say. He said something like, from a religious perspective, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
So clearly he thought this was a fine thing to do. And to Libyans, other Libyans, not foreign journalists, not for public consumption, to other Libyans at the time, he was lecturing them about the importance of conducting this attack as retribution for the video.
And just, David, to wrap up here, you say that he was a local, small-time Islamist militant. Others that you quote say that he became a boogeyman after he gained power in the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi. But others also said he seemed a little unhinged. I mean,
You're asking where does he fit into the landscape of Benghazi militias, and how can somebody so nuts get away with something like this?
Well, yeah.
You know, it's a very interesting question. I mean, he's someone who even other jihadis considered an erratic extremist, somebody who considered his fellow Islamists non-Islamists enough and broke with them in the first months of the uprising against Colonel Gaddafi. So he was always a pariah. And yet, in this kind of a total vacuum of law and order and also of leadership, he was able to attract a kind of a small band of followers, and he was working in an atmosphere where there was basically a lot of dry kindling. You know, there was a lot of young men with weapons, a lot of people very hyped up, a lot of people who were quite inclined already to defend their country and their religion from the specter of Western interference, and ready to believe that the Western powers have helped them overthrow Colonel Gaddafi, we're now going to try to change their country. And so here he comes, and this video throws the match, and he is ready to fan the flames.
David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief of the New York Times, who interviewed Abu-Katala, the Benghazi suspect, in the days after the 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. David, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And again, David joined us by Skype. So you want to weigh in? Go online. We want to hear from you. Leave a comment with this story at hereandnow.org. And by the way, there are other conversations about other stories going on at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Join in there as well.